With the view from her Jerusalem window, here's Andrea Simontov.
But I very much doubt sitting there with a bowl of Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
Right.
although things have come back.
I knew it. I said, I didn't say I'm going to talk about Ben and Jerry's. There's no Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, no, it is interesting. I mean, the next thing I see that Ayelet Shaked has zoomed down to Tuvia in the Negev to support Ben and Jerry's. So things are really becoming quite complex to understand. But we're not going to do the ice cream thing, Andrea. We're not. You've asked.
Okay, I'm embarrassed. I actually had some in the house and I flushed it down the toilet. Not because it was a protest, but because I couldn't afford the mood swings, the depression, the sugar high. And I pretended that flushing it down the hall. I said, look at how political
took
a
moral high ground, did you? Well, that's absolutely fantastic. All right, that's a good dose of honesty for the afternoon. You're asking the question today, August, dead or alive, and I've got no idea what you're getting at.
Right. So, okay. So you know what? It's like I'm making this joke and I'm saying, oh, I'm so tired, sugar highs, and there's something about August, especially past Tisha B'Av, past the 3 weeks, that just – it's not even that it's like a funk or depression. It's like nothing's going on and we get tired. And there's like this little buzz in the air that, oh, the holidays. But especially after this year of COVID, more than year, what are we up to? Like almost 17 months of COVID, something like this.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself, like, there's very frequently this idea that there's nothing going on that's spiritual, because our calendar is such a poignant calendar, such a vibrant calendar, such a popping calendar. And then you have August. And what happens is I have this friend, this very dear friend from my childhood, and we've never lost touch, and she lives an extremely secular life. And out of nowhere, she picks up a book.
Yeah.
And she said to me, when is it 60 days before the high holidays? I said, you know, Vervais, what is she talking about? And it's a book that she picked up somewhere, and I saw the cover, and the source was super. And she's doing this whole 60-day kind of cleanse towards the high holy days. And she knows, and it was very funny, because she said to me, when is Rosh Chodesh? Is that August 1st? And I said to her, no, I think it's like the 8th going on the 9th, and it's only one day. She goes, but how can it be only a day? Because I have to do it, and it's 60 days. She didn't understand that Rosh Chodesh was a day. And I thought to myself, my goodness, how much responsibility do those of us who are a little more immersed in Jewish life, what a responsibility is. And it made me humble, made me look back. And I started to explain to her, no, Elul starts and the holiday starts then. And then I thought, nice, Andrew, you're talking to her, but are you talking to yourself? And then I said to myself, but wait, I'm going to chat with Simon about all the things that we can do in August to rev up, amp up, kick in the highest part of the year. And I said, but isn't it very parochial? What about non-Jews that are listening in? What about those that profess to be not religious or people of all? And I thought to myself, what more perfect time of the month than August for any of us, for all of us, to kind of approach, whether it be the autumn, whether it be the new year, and to kind of kick our mind, our heart, our soul into gear for the world that we want it to be, the new year that we want it to be. And I came across a list by this Rabbi Joel Padowitz, who asks everybody, whoever you are, what is your race? What is your faith? What is your orientation? Whatever it is, what kind of friend do you want to be? How do you want to conduct your private affairs? What habits do you want to break? And I thought to myself, August is the time. Sitting in the sun, drinking the tea, you guys are bundled up by the fire, okay? And just sit and say, where do I want to be more careful starting tomorrow? And I just thought, Simon, August can be dead, the air can be stale, our attitudes can be stale, or it could be very, very alive. And one more thing before you say, well, that's fascinating, Andrew, but I'd like to ask you this. Okay.
Now, you know, this is a difficult conversation for a very secular person to have, but I'm listening to you with the hugest respect. That is for sure.
But that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. It's for everyone to ask these questions. How do I want to be? What do I want my body to deliver to me, for me, about me this year? What in the world does that have to do with religiosity other than saying we're here for a purpose? Whether I think there's a deity in the sky, a deity in the moon, a deity that exists or a deity that's within me. What do I want from myself? How do I want to be remembered? What contribution do I want to make? And talking about secular you, again, before you interfere, came across this very nice quote, and it's such a nice quote that I can't tell you where it came from, but it says that he whose father did not have him taught is obliged to teach himself when he reaches an age of discernment. Learning precedes action. Learning leads to action. Action does not necessarily lead to learning. Does that mean that one has to have sat in a yeshiva for years? Does it mean that if our parents were not involved in ecology and helping preserve the planet or giving tzedakah to make sure that elderly people are taken care of or children with special needs can have a hope in the future, if they didn't do it, are we obligated to also not do it? Well, my parents didn't. Or can we go to our own inner yeshiva, our own ecology institute, our own, make our own decisions? Not be satisfied with doing little because the world we came from was about little. We can make it as wide, as broad, as great. And I tell you, August is the month, whether it's because of Elul or whether it's because of the changing seasons. Nothing can lead to greatness. And that is my speech for the day.
I'm going to take a whole lot of time to process that and think about that. I was thinking as you were talking that you're talking to an audience who's pretty shell-shocked right now. I think we've come out of a really difficult week, emotionally, in every possible way. I think we're examining ourselves, our futures, you name it. But that doesn't mean one shouldn't aspire to do all those things that you have just spoken about.
Well, one more thing, Simon. Mamish, yes, because I would imagine that coming out of that week in South Africa, and I wasn't there, I did have a front seat. I did look more aware than the average European
sure.
Joe Schmo.
Sure.
But I wasn't there suffering what you guys were suffering. But you know what? I would imagine that that kind of episode can make everybody feel very small and very impotent. And instead, to grab what we can grab, and not as a consolation prize, but to defiantly grab our space and take our own little four corners and make it the universe that we want it to be. Not letting what happens define us, changing the definition within our own special worlds.
You are an absolute superstar, Andrea Simantov, and that is why we enjoy speaking to you every single week. You manage to find the light in the darkness each and every time. For that, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, especially this week. Shabbat shalom.
Amen, amen. Shabbat shalom, Simon, and really hugs to everyone. Okay? Bye-bye.